So anyways, but so I called Steve this week and I asked him, I was like, hey, listen, I want to ask you if you would come and preach on Sunday. I was sitting there, I was wondering, what am I going to do? Who am I going to call? And I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, what I have learned is you don't just let anybody speak or preach to your flock, period. There are so many people who say so many crazy things off the wall nowadays, and they don't get it from in the Bible, they get it from outside the Bible. And it's not word, it's not gospel, it's not Bible, it's not truth. But I can tell you, every single time I've ever heard Steve preach, it has been so biblical. And he cracks me up, and I always love to listen to him preach, speak. He's family, but y'all know anytime somebody comes into this house, regardless of whether or not they're blood, they're family. So I want you to get up on your feet, and I want you to welcome Pastor Steve Gilbert to the stage as he brings the word today.
You got the anointing on this microphone?
Yeah, it's on it.
All right.
It's on
okay,
it.
Praise God. Just remain standing for prayer, if you will, please. I actually had about an hour's worth of preaching to do today, but after that announcement that Pastor made, I'm going to cut it down to 30 minutes. In case some of you just have to go. Pastor called me the other day and said, hey, can you preach on Wednesday? And I said, sure. He said, it's Heritage Sunday. We're singing the old songs. And so I guess he just needed an old man to fill in today. And so I fit right in today. My wife asked me yesterday, are you gonna dress up tomorrow? When I retired 2 years ago, I got rid of all of my suits, except one black one. And I said, no, Jamie wears tennis shoes and sweatshirts on Sunday morning. I get up here and everybody up here is wearing black suits. So that's a sign. I don't know what of, but it's a sign. But I want you to bow your heads with me, if you will, and just ask God to lead God and direct me, and ask God to help you understand and receive the word today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. What a privilege it is to speak about you anywhere at any time, but especially this church where my family leads and is involved. It's such an honor, and I know you're doing great things here. I've read about it, heard about it, talked to them about it, and I ask your anointing today upon me, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said amen. You may be seated. I was very excited the other day when Pastor called me, as I mentioned just a moment ago, and asked me to minister. Because in this season of time, where we are in the world and in America today, it's easy to find a subject to talk about. Because this world needs our help. This world needs the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a kid talking about Heritage Sunday, I would hear a lot of times ministers say, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And I didn't really know what it meant. I started using that phrase when I started preaching, but I understand now what they meant. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. And so I was driving down the highway when Pastor called me, and immediately my mind and my spirit started stirring. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 to stir up the gift of God that is in you. And if you've got ADD and you're not going to remember much that I say after the first 5 minutes, I want you to know that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today and you're filled with the Spirit, there is a gift inside of you. And you need to stir that gift up through fasting and prayer, worship and meditation upon His Word. Because we are missing a lot of opportunities to minister to people in this day and time in which we live. Most everybody I meet is depressed and confused and can't understand why this is happening, why that's happening, and who to vote for and who not to vote for and what to say and whose feelings we're going to hurt. You need to stir up the gift of God that is in you and let God use you in a way perhaps you've never been used before. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God is going to come knocking at your door. He's wanting you to minister to your neighbor, your coworker, maybe some family member that you're separated from. God is using people in these last days that He's never used before, and He'll use you and me in a way that He's never done before if we will just stir up the gift that is in us. So as I thought about what to say and what to speak about today, it was a no-brainer. I thought to myself, first of all, I must preach about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Everywhere I turn, television ministries and books and sermons are talking about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. In Matthew chapter 24, I'm reading out of respect for the King James Version this Heritage Sunday. I'm reading from the King James Version, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him and asked Him to show. The disciples came to Him for to show. It's hard to read from the King James Version. I love the King James Version, okay? Don't misunderstand me. The buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately and said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Take heed that no man deceive you. Many will come in My name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Can you say hello? "See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be all kinds of sickness or famines and people starving to death, earthquakes. All these are the beginning of sorrow." Verse 13, "But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved." In Luke chapter 21, we read the same record of Jesus speaking about these things. And He said in verse 28, "When these things began to happen, to look up, lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh." Lord, out of respect for what's going to happen here today, we give You glory, honor, and praise. Amen. You may be seated again. There's a lot about the second coming. There's a lot about the things we read that are going to happen in the Bible that I don't understand. But I do know this: He is coming back. I don't understand perhaps what Gog or Magog is that Ezekiel and some of the other ones talk about, but I do know that Jesus is coming back. And as I was driving down the highway again, I felt so led to speak about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I didn't really feel like that's what I needed to talk about today. That's what I want to talk about, but that's not what the Lord perhaps led me to talk about today. So another subject came to my mind. If there was ever a time that we needed revival, it is this hour and this day that we live in. Can you say amen? We need a revival. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart for Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? You see, the disciples wanted to know exactly when and what everything was going to happen. And we're that way too. I don't know the exact day. I don't know the exact hour. I don't know a lot of the details, but I know that Jesus is coming back. And in verse 7, he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. You don't have to answer every question. You don't have to dot every I or cross every T. You just need to know. As Jesus said later on in Matthew, that in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. But he said in verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so in chapter 2, after they got together for a prayer meeting, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. He said, in the last days, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And so they got together and began to pray. They were in one mind and one accord. If everyone in this section, in these sections, could get together today and decide that this world needs revival worse than we've ever needed it before, we'd leave here today and we'd make a difference in Dalton, Georgia, and in the surrounding area. We've got to get together. Earlier in verse 6, it mentions the word they. And here in verse 1 of chapter 2, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. If we could all get in one mind today, the Holy Spirit would fill this house in which we are sitting to the extent that even though you may not expect it because your neighbor is about to go crazy in the Holy Ghost, you're going to get bombarded with an almighty move of the Holy Spirit that you didn't come for. You didn't expect it. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Here in Acts chapter 2, later on in Acts chapter 8 and 10, in chapter 19, also from the Apostle Paul, we know that tongues was the usual, it was the norm in these days. It wasn't unexpected. It was expected that when you were filled with the Spirit, the gifts would come in. One of them, very evident, would be the speaking of other tongues. It happens time and time and time again throughout Scripture. Then in verses 14 through 18, Peter stood up and tried to explain to the people in the city what was happening. Ministers can just go so far in explaining what's going to happen and what is happening. Sooner or later, you've got to receive it and allow God to do in your life what he wants to do. Some of you don't need a preacher today. Some of you don't need this sermon today. You just need to turn loose and do what God's told you to do and obey him this morning. And Peter stood up with the 11. And he said, men of Judea, and all these that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken. These men are not drunken as you suppose. The way the folks were acting, people in the city thought they were drunk. They were staggering and speaking in a language perhaps unknown to them. And this happened time and time again, as I mentioned a while ago, throughout the book of Acts and in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. But Peter said, they're not drunk as you suppose. I imagine some of them were falling out in the spirit. Can I get a witness? Do you know that happens many times in Scripture? Ezekiel experienced that in Ezekiel chapter 1. Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. When Jesus was on the mountain of transfiguration, he shone with the glory of God upon him, and the three disciples with him fell out. When they came to arrest Jesus, they said, are you the one that we're looking for? And he said, I am. And they fell backwards under the anointing, under the power, under the extreme degree of the presence of the Holy Ghost that day. He said, I am. When you get a hold of I am, let me tell you something, when he gets a hold of you, when you're not just clapping your hands, but you're praising the Lord, you're not just kneeling at the altar, but you're pouring your spirit out. When you realize that you're in the presence of God, something's got to happen. He said, this is not what you think it is. These people are not crazy, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit, and you shall prophesy. But revival is really not what I came to speak about today. I wanted to speak about the return of the Lord, but that's not what I came to speak about today. I wanted to speak about revival, but that's really not what I came to speak about today. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people. Here's the formula for revival. I just had a couple more thoughts come to me. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, you don't want me to preach about revival. I've got three or more subjects here I want to mention. And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayer and I will send revival, if I could paraphrase that. I don't know that we really want revival, because revival requires change. And if you're not willing to change, then you don't want revival. Because when you are in revival, you get up in the morning and you've got Jesus on your mind. When you go through the day at work or wherever, you've got Jesus on your mind. And turn from their wicked ways. Is that one of mine? Got some great grandbabies here today, and I don't think I've ever, of course, one of them's just 6 months old. The other one's almost three. And I didn't know how they would react to Papa being up here today shouting and screaming and going on. But before I move off of the thought of revival, if my people, which are called by my name, humble this pray, turn from the way, then I will hear from heaven. There's not a whole lot of difference between the way the world is living and a lot of Christians. Now, I'm not going to make a mess that the pastor has to come in and clean up next week. But the way he was talking to you all a while ago, I think I'm okay. I don't care whether I hurt your feelings or not. Get over it. He said, if you will humble yourselves and pray, then I will. If you are not willing to change, there's not going to be revival. Some of you are just that close to revival. You've been attending church here. You feel the presence of the Lord. You watch people being filled with the Spirit, healed and delivered. And you want some of that. But you've got to change your ways before the way maker can come in and do a new work, a fresh work in your life. I'm talking about the kind of touch, the kind of move. Whereby you go get a new tattoo and it says, Holy Roller. Pastor, I'd like to join the staff here. I'm going to start me a little tattoo parlor back here in the corner. You need to stop thinking. You need to stop worrying about what everyone else is going to think about you. And you need to turn loose, hold on, stand up, sit down, whatever it takes for you to get a breakthrough. Woo! Yes, Lord, yes. Although revival and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ are great subjects to talk about, that's really not what I came to talk about today. I'm getting there. Hold it just a little longer. I'm not believing I said that. I'm going to skip a lot of this because I sense in my spirit there's a few people in this room that's getting what I'm talking about. And you've said it many times, but sometimes another voice to support and to stand behind the man of God kind of brings breakthrough in people's lives that they're looking for. I started to talk about love, Matthew 22. Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and soul. And then the next verse, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. In another place, you got a few minutes. On the Sermon on the Mountain, I think he said, love your neighbor, do good to those that use you and abuse you. I can love my neighbor, I just don't want to do good. I can love them from way back here, but I don't want to go down there and say, brother, how's your children? I can believe it in my heart, but let me tell you something. It's not real unless it's in action. He said, pray for those and do good to those that despitefully use you. But I didn't come today to talk about love. I thought about generosity. I thought about fivefold ministry. I was doing all of this. Going down the highway about 80 miles an hour, it's pouring rain when he called me. I was taking my wife, I think, to the doctor. I've got a praying wife. Anytime I'm driving, she's sitting over there. That's the prayingest woman you've ever seen. Shata manyana masoda manyana. For 53 years, she's been telling me how to drive. Honey, do you see that car? Brake lights out there, looks like a Christmas tree. Honey, you see everybody stopping? Honey, you need to slow down a little bit. Thank God for Facebook. She gets on that phone and Facebook, I'm good. I love you, babe. She said, if I got up here today and acted up, she wasn't riding home with me. My wife's going to need a ride home, kids. So I thought about so many things. But in closing, what I want to speak about today is a man called Jesus. Let me tell you something. We need to get ready because Jesus is coming. That's what I talked about earlier. If we want revival, we've got to have Jesus. But sometimes we're so wrapped up in those subjects. They're necessary. They're biblical. Don't misunderstand me. Good subjects. They're in the Bible that we forget that he said that he would supply all of our needs. So we need to come today to this altar just to worship Jesus, just to lift our hands up toward heaven and just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's all about him. From the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, it's about Jesus. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The King James Version says, believeth. New King James, New Living Translation, it's believes. Now I'm just going to, this is theology according to Steve York. There's a difference between believeth and believe. If you believeth and you see your brother or sister in need or a stranger, you don't know whether they're a brother or sister or not, you go help them. If you believeth and you've got a need in your life and the pastor says, come if you need this or that or the other, if you believe that you come down. One of the biggest mistakes I made, I just retired from a church where I'd been 25 years. I made a lot of mistakes. It was usually someone else's fault, but I made it. Now, if you want to give your heart to Jesus today, you want to get saved, if you want to get sanctified today, anybody heard that word lately? Sanctified. That means you get rid of your bad habits. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then cleanse us. When I got saved, it was back like when they were building the ark or something. It was a long time ago. I'd been married for two or three years. We had children. I was not the best husband. My wife looked at me one day and she says, I'm going to be leaving next week. This is not what I thought marriage was. And because of that and praying mamas and this little group of ladies at South Cleveland Church of God that used to pray for me, the Holy Spirit came upon me and said, just let me lay down here and rest a little while, and we'll go to church tonight, and I'll get saved, and you can rededicate your life, and I'm going to turn it over. So I went to church, and T. Paul Patton, did you ever know T. Paul? Was preaching. I thought he would never shut up, kind of like you guys are thinking about right now. I don't even know what he preached about. Please be quiet. I'm wanting to get saved. So I don't know why, but I went down. We had Stephanie. It was just a baby. Raise your hand, Stephanie. Look higher. You're short like me. And Jason, I don't know where he was. He was probably recovering from a spanking he just got for chewing gum or wiggling. And I knelt at the altar, like, on this side of the church, and for some reason, she went that way. It wasn't the custom to men going, but anyway, I wish we'd prayed together, but anyway, we did. So we got saved. Mom and Dad weren't there that night. It's unbelievable. Mom and Dad never missed church. If we went by the church when I was a kid, and Dad didn't know what was going on, we'd stop. We'd go to Ladies William Worker Band. Anybody remember what that was? Didn't matter. But I got saved that night and turned my life around. But I had some bad habits. I went home and we flushed a lot of stuff down the toilet. But it was the cigarettes. Now back then with that group I was, if you're still smoking, we ain't through with you yet. And they get you in the altar. And they'd say, stand up, sit down, roll over. You didn't know what to do. And they was pulling shoulders out of socket and everything else. And I'd drive by the little store, O'Coy Superette on Coy Street, after work each day, where I usually stopped and got a couple of packs. And my hands on the steering wheel. Oh, God. Oh, God. And I knew if I stopped, one of those little old ladies was going to be in there. Is there anything in your life that's hindering the flow of the Holy Spirit? If there's anything in your life that's hindering you from knowing Jesus like Jesus really wants you to know him, you need to get into this altar this morning and lay it all on the altar. Somebody say amen. Saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me skip a couple of pages. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. My son's right here, one of my grandsons, his mother family back there. If you committed a terrible crime, and the judge said, if you can find somebody to take your place, we'll set you free and execute that other person. And if that person that had committed the crime came to me and said, Steve, would you let Jason take my place? If not, I'm going to spend the rest of my life incarcerated. I'd say, well, you better pack your lunch, because I wouldn't do it. There's my grandson. Same thing. Sorry. Great-grandson back there somewhere. Sorry. He died. No, nobody took his life. He gave his life. It's Jesus. John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Lift him up. Talk about him. Sing about him. Yes, we've got to talk about the return. We've got to talk about revival. On and on and on. They're interwoven. I understand that. But let us give honor to honor is due. Because Acts 17:28 says, it is in Jesus we live and move and have our being. It's a great pastor here. Pastor's wife. You don't think where she is? There she is. And they speak life into you. And they speak word. But it's just so you can have a one-on-one relationship. Now the Catholic Church, and this is not derogatory, so don't misunderstand me. But they go into a booth and they get in that room with the priest on the other side and they close the door. Some of you need to get into a room by yourself with no one there but Jesus, and you need to pour your heart out to Him and give Him the good and give Him the bad and give Him the ugly, because He said in Matthew 6, if you will pray in secret, I will reward you openly. If you'll help me, I'll appreciate it. Would you turn to someone and remind them that it's all about Jesus? Philippians chapter 2. And I am getting ready to close. How many times a day do you say that when you preach? Now, get ready to close. Okay. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He'd heal somebody, and they jump up. He said, don't tell anybody. That don't work today. If I'd just done half of what Jesus did, I'd have a Steve Gilbert Bible. I'd have my own television network. I'd introduce myself as a man of faith and miracles. But Jesus said, I'm not worried about my reputation. All I am concerned about is going to the cross and paying the price so that people on April the 21 in Dalton, Georgia can feel my presence and receive the healing and the deliverance that they need. He made himself of no reputation. Took on the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Oh, there's so much I need to say right there, but I won't. Maybe I'll say just a little bit. People today, they follow just anybody. You may be a Swiftie here today, but I just don't get it. And then she starts dating this football player. Uh-oh, I can tell by the way the pastor's moving around, I need to back off on all this. Huh? Oh, yeah, he's wiggling. He's doing some of that wiggling now. Yeah. You need to go to the bathroom. You better go now. He talks about Jesus 1 minute, and I see him dog drunk the next. The other day on Easter, he said it again, something about Jesus, the man that gave it all. It wasn't long until he took it off. Swifty done got a hold of him. This is some of that stuff Pastor was talking about a while ago. Some of what I preach is from the Bible, and some of it ain't. Some of it's just what I think. But everybody, you don't just... I think 150 million people are on TikTok, and they won't know to erase TikTok. And people are upset. People are making millions off of YouTube, and they have these great followings and all. And I'm not against most of that. But everybody today is looking for a reputation, a following. Jesus, I believe, he died at the appointed time. But if it'd been up to him, I think he probably would have went to the cross when he was about 23 instead of 33, because he knew what he came to do and he wanted to get it done and that way replenish the earth with a former glory. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God exalted him, giving him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess. His name is above every name. It's all about Jesus. When demons, James 2:19, hear the word Jesus, they tremble. When I was here last time, it was on one of the first Wednesday things you were having. That was quite a while ago. I thought maybe I'd said something wrong. You'd never asked me back. But I talked a lot about generational curses. And throughout the scripture, Old Testament, you read about the sins of the fathers will be on the children, the grandchildren. But I'm talking about a man that can break the generational curse that you're dealing with today. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. You don't have to wait until pastor's up here. The generational curse. Stand with me, if you will, please. Jesus, say it with me. Jesus, Jesus, we worship you. Excuse me, it looks like I had a hard fall. Here, just tell it I'm okay. The ambulances and the fire trucks will be here in a moment if somebody don't deal with that. I started screaming out the name of Jesus, and the devil through Apple Watch tried to interfere with what I was saying. When you go to work tomorrow, what did the preacher preach about? You just say, Jesus. What'd he say about him? I don't know. Jesus, you just mention the name of Jesus. Demons have to flee. The generational curses are broken. You okay? Can I have 5 more minutes? Who will make it 10? Isaiah 6, seriously. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. What are you going through today? Isaiah was going through a tough time. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know why he saw him? Because he was looking for him. He was in church. And his train filled the temple. Above it was the seraphims with 6 wings. 2 they covered their faces, 2 they covered their feet, 2 they did fly. They cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's no time up there, but continually, day and night, so to speak. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Here's another example. He fell out. Isaiah couldn't handle it. The presence of the Lord. You know what he did? After an experience like that, he didn't go out and buy him a big old bus and start traveling and say, I saw the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. I got behind, I've had two or three motorhomes, and I got behind a Prevost the other day on APD 40, and it was like a new one. They start out now at $1.5 million and go up to $2 million. My wife called and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I've made three loops around Cleveland just following this Prevost that I'm set behind." Well, maybe not that much, but it was beautiful. But Isaiah didn't brag. It's great to have an evangelist drive a bus and a Bible school and all like that. I'm just trying to make a point. You know what he said? "Woe is me, for I am undone. I dwell in the midst of a wicked people." And one of the seraphims came with a hot coal from the altar, touched his lips and cleansed him. And you know what he said? He said, "Lord, here am I, send me." There's a lot of signs that accompany salvation, sanctification, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And Isaiah said, "Here am I, O Lord, send me." If you've seen Jesus today, like I'm really talking about, when you leave here, you're going to tell somebody about Jesus and about the difference that he's made. One more. Revelation 4. John was on the island of Patmos. He had a dream, had a vision. God was giving him all this information. In chapters 2 and 3, he wrote letters to the seven churches. Five of them needed repentance. All of them needed Jesus. John said, after this, after the church age, in my opinion, but after this, I saw a vision in heaven. Now, the King James Version says these beasts were up there. These heavenly creatures were up there. They were crying out. You know what they were saying? What did they say in Isaiah 6? "Holy, holy, holy." You know what these guys were saying in Revelation 4? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And John fell on his face. Bam. Jawbreaker. And then the elders. The elders came, fell at his feet. Listen to this. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure," or "for thy pleasure," King James, "you are and were created." I'm sure when I was born, my parents said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this precious little bundle of joy." And hopefully I brought some measurable amount of that joy into their life. But I was not created to bring them joy. I was created to please God. "Thou hast created all things, and for your pleasure, you were created to please God." "Trust in me with all of your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge me. I'll direct your path." That's easier said than done. Trust in me with all of your heart. "I'm trusting in you, Lord, but don't lean on your own understanding." Well, now, Lord, that doesn't sound logical to me. You see, we trust in him, but then he tells us what to do, and then we want to debate him. Some of you are making it way too difficult. All you've got to do today. You know what? I never did get back to that point I was making a while ago. That's really important right now. I don't think I did. At my age, you don't remember what you said 2 minutes ago anyway. So. But when I was pastoring, I got into the habit of saying, now listen, if I said this earlier, you need to hear it again. I'd say, some of you need to be saved. Oh, that's right. I got on sanctification. Some of you need to be delivered from those bad habits. Some of you need to be filled with the Spirit. Some of you need to be delivered. Now, if you don't want to come down to the altar, just right there where you stand. That's a bunch of baloney. Can I say baloney? Matthew. Correct me later on, I think it's in chapter 10. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. If you don't love Jesus enough, if you don't feel like this book right here tells you what you are, who you are, and what you need, if you don't love Him enough, if you're not serious enough about salvation and what's going on in your life to come down here and pray, and I'm not talking about making me looking good, my days of trying to look good is over. I don't care. You're not going to call me in the morning. You give them my number. I don't have to put up with it anymore. I'm not trying to impress anybody. The pastor, well, they lined up. I'm not into that. Doesn't matter.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at LifeGate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at LifeGate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.